The 24th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 24th Gene Key moves from addiction to silence, and it's the path of invention. The 24th shadow has great weight inside us, and it affects every human being alive. Not one person escapes the shadow of addiction. There are many types and expressions of addiction. And the ones most spoken of, we know about drugs, alcohol, and substances. Also, we know that addictive patterns can be carried across to eating, gambling, working, even sex. It's not so often, however, that we look right into the eye of our addictive patterns. It's not so often that we really see where they spring from. But we're all addicted to something. And addiction, all addiction is really, is misidentification. We identify with the form of the world. And because of the suffering inside, we feel it as grief or numbness or boredom or angst or frustration or loneliness or any other deeply uncomfortable state. And we would like to avoid feeling that state. And so we find a pattern of behavior that temporarily suspends the discomfort. And then we begin to rely on that pattern so that whenever we feel the pain coming back in, and it's usually unconscious, we drop right back into the pattern. And of course, it doesn't really take away the pain. It just delays it. It conceals it. It distracts us from it. And only ever for a while. So perhaps you might enjoy the dilemma of this shadow. It's gravity. And that may sound odd, but it actually is the weight of the world. It's the weight of being in a body. There are two forces in life, the force of gravity, which holds us down, and the force of levity, which lifts us up. And we're caught in the middle of this dance between these forces. Gravitational patterns trap us. They cause us to breathe less deeply. They cause us to contract. Our mind gets fixated and depressed. Our systems become rigid and overstressed. They make us feel bad about ourselves, because deep down we know we're avoiding something. And they create more heaviness. Levitational patterns, if I can invent a new word, they lift us, they elevate us, they clarify our thinking, they give us hope. Levity gives a sense of freedom, of vitality, of life. Levity lifts us beyond what we can see and opens our hearts and souls to a greater vision of what's possible in life. So those patterns give us a sense of purpose. And our lives are played out in the field of these two patterns, one pulling us down, the other raising us up. It's like a Shakespeare play sometimes, watching our lives, as we soar high one moment only to plummet the next. And we all know the huge effort it takes to pull ourselves back up once we've fallen. And there are so many stories we tell ourselves when we succumb to the force of gravity and fall victim to an addictive pattern. You know, we lie to ourselves in so many ways. And then, of course, we carry the guilt and the shame and the depression and the regret and the rage and all the feelings that come along for the ride. It's really something, being a human. But I think the secret of working with this shadow, indeed of being human at all, is just to be honest with yourself. And, you know, in the well-known 12-step program, this is always the first step. Admitting the position that you're in. And interestingly, step two is about invoking a higher power to bring assistance. So perhaps the best advice here is first to really see the deep nature of the shadow of addiction in your life. Look into your everyday patterns. Put on a pair of glasses that only sees addictive tendencies and train them on yourself. And you'll soon find the addictive patterns. What do you do to prevent you from enjoying pauses? What do you do that causes you to miss out on the finer things of life? And when you've seen such things in your life, when you've seen where you cave in to the weight of gravity, then step two, go to the city. The city reminds you of your true purpose in life. The city, it can be any one of the 64 cities of the Gene Keys. The city is the levity, as the shadow is the gravity. And the beauty of the city is that it's out of your hands. You can only call upon its power. You can only pray for it or meditate on it or dream about it. But these things are enough. You have to remind yourself of the other extreme and put your trust in it, put your faith in it. And then you watch and you wait and you listen and maybe you pray. This is all contemplation. You contemplate the gravity of the shadow. You contemplate the beauty and the freedom of the city. And then you let the gift come into play. And it will. It will emerge all on its own. Let's take a look at how that works. The 24th gift, invention. Invention is wonderful. Invention is nothing but creativity. The gift is all about creativity. It's your contemplation sprinting into action. It's effervescent, it's surprising, it's exciting. It's the only thing that has enough oomph, that has enough gravitas, enough chi to suck you out of the gravity and draw you up into the light. You know, it's elegant, this whole notion of the Trinity, the shadow, the gift, the city. The elegance is that you have to take a leap of faith and reach out, and then the greater being at the other end of the tunnel reaches out in turn, and you pass through the tunnel and into the light. It's interesting, again, when we consider this 12-step program that's used, for example, by the AA, because the program does exactly this, what I'm describing here. If you speak to anyone who's ever done the 12-step program or were they to read this, they would recognize precisely what I'm talking about. So it's an archetypal universal process, this transformation. It's why these are called the 64 transformational ways. And of course, each way has a different angle, a different language, but they're essentially the same way, the same path. And here in the 24th gene key, we have to consider the nature of the 24. You know, it's called originally the return or returning. That's a translation from the original Chinese. It's about going back to the roots in order that you can change the pattern. You return back to the essential. You examine where you've come from and where you've arrived. And this gift can be a huge turning point for you if you allow it to be. There's an old Chinese proverb, very well known, and it goes, sow a thought, reap an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So once you've done your shadow examination and you've identified the addictive pattern in your nature, something that drags you down rather than pulls you up, now I want to invite you to sow a thought. Think about this pattern and how you might reinvent it. This is the gift of invention. Let something completely new bubble up. What else might you do with this energy? How can you use it to lift you up? And you needn't rush to find the answer. Let the answer emerge out of the city of silence. Give it time to emerge. This is the art of contemplation we're learning here in the Gene Keys. And the soil of contemplation is time. Invention isn't something that you do. It's something that happens, that wells up from the unknown. And when that thought does come through, let it reap an action. Let that action be something new, something fresh, something you might not have done before in that stuck or frustrated state. And then sow that action and let its roots go deep. And if the action has come from the city, then the action has deep roots. And the next time you're facing the same moment of challenge, the action will happen again. And it will reap a habit. And this new habit will lift you rather than sink you. And you're now transferring the addictive pattern from gravity to levity. And in time, the habit will become a part of who you are. In fact, it won't so much be a habit as a custom. Habits can be enforced, whereas customs are followed. So I prefer the word custom here. It's more gentle. And this healthy, beautiful custom will become a part of your character. And of course, the finale is that such a custom, rooted as it is in deep, selfless love and surrender, rooted in grace, it will reap a new destiny. And that's how invention works. This is what invention means. It's not inventiveness, that's different. Inventiveness is a knack or a trait or a skill. Invention is a mystery. It comes from the city and it will reshape your life from the inside out. But first you must be listening. You must be willing to see the shadow simply for what it is, not something to be avoided, but as compost, the most beautiful, rich compost for a higher destiny, a higher purpose, your higher purpose. The 24th city, silence. Whenever we arrive at the city doing these recordings, I often have mixed feelings. Sometimes I feel excited because I know I'm going to venture into the unknown or into the unknowable, and so I feel anticipation about that. But at other times I feel, well, if I'm honest, I feel a bit nervous. Because the question I ask myself is, what right do you have to talk about such a thing? Have you known it in its entirety? The answer is no. But another answer is that I know it if I let myself know it. So what is silence? And how on earth can I speak about silence? What an absurd predicament. What do I know about silence? I know that it's a treasure beyond all others. I know that it sparkles with life, like the stars. I know that it's not empty, as you might imagine, but pregnant, like the cosmos. I know that silence is not golden, but silver, like the jewels of the deep feminine sea. And often we think of silence as empty. And you know there's such a thing as an empty silence, but it's only been invented by man. You know what that is? Digital silence. Think about that. We've actually invented an entropic silence, a numb silence. Digital silence is actually soundless. It's lifeless. It's vacuous. But true silence isn't like that. True silence isn't soundlessness. The silence of space is alive with light, with pulsing light, with frequency, with wave upon wave of hidden luster. So true silence is alive. Let's consider the void. You know, when we think about the Buddhist concept of the void, of emptiness, it feels terrifying to the mind. But that's only the mind's deep fear of annihilation, and that fear is an illusion. There is no such thing. There is only eternity. There can be only eternity. Therefore, the fear of annihilation is illogical. Eternity ensures that one thing merely transforms into another. It can never be lost. This is our fear of death. It's hard to find a person who admits that they're afraid of death. But it's only because you won't admit it to yourself. If you had no trace of this fear, you'd be a Christ, you'd be a Buddha, you'd be a fully embodied divinity. It's because you harbour this fear somewhere beneath all others that you're not that pure awakened one. I include myself in that. Any fear you have is really this core fear of annihilation, masquerading as something else. But it's okay. Fear is safe. Fear is part of our journey. It's just that not all our cells have remembered eternity yet, so we harbour fear. But when we let it out, and when we let it in, and when we let it through, then it transmutes. And then we transmute some of those cells. It's just that eternity is such a huge concept for our minds to embrace, and we live in a pretty godless world. We're constantly imprinted by the materialistic worldview, and most of our respected leaders and influential thinkers are materialists, scientists, thinkers, rather than lovers and ecstatics of the great mystery. And all this propaganda surrounds us with the feeling that the world is unsafe. And even the way we behave around death is not really open. We try and fight it off as long as possible. We don't embrace it, not really. We don't celebrate it. It's something we fear. The 24th Jinki is paired with the 44th Jinki, which is a magical one. It's about a great divine plan where all human lives are part of a beautiful tapestry, like the Bayeux tapestry. And collectively, all our lives unfold this wonderfully rich story of evolution. And in that story, we're all approaching the Godhead in our different ways and guises. And the silence is what we keep dipping into and out of. We incarnate from the silence, and then we excarnate back into the same silent pool. And each time we're refreshed and renewed and we come back to play another role, and there's a continuity to our roles. And the more sensitive and surrendered we become, the more we feel this continuity in our lives and in those around us. And the codon ring that the 24th gene key is central to is called the ring of life and death. And each gene key in this codon ring answers all the great questions about the universe. So the 24th gene key, at least the 24th city of silence, it's called returning for a very good reason. We have to keep returning back into the form until we've polished our souls to such a degree that they shine resplendent. And the greater we shine, the closer we come to the end of our particular storyline. And at the end of our part, we hand in all our costumes and we return to the great source, the silence from whence we came, and we get our time of rest. But we also graduate from this plane, this earth plane, with its field of gravity. And levity now makes it impossible for us to return. So our evolution, such as it is, continues in another form, a form that now knows the timeless truth. The timeless truth. Well, something at least emerged from out of the silence. You never know what will come. I hope you enjoyed the story, and I hope you found this particular gene key practical as well. Thank you. Blessings.